from Vermont Public. This is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Tuesday, February 4th, and here are today's headlines. After state leaders signed off on new restrictions to Vermont's motel voucher program last year, over 1,500 people experiencing homelessness were pushed out of hotels and motels. That prompted public outcry this past fall. Now that lawmakers have returned to Montpelier, they have their first chance to shift course. Without intervention, this spring could bring a repeat situation. That's when the motel program's looser winter rules end. Representative Teresa Wood, a Democrat from Waterbury, is seeking to halt another wave of evictions. She said last week she wants to buy more time for lawmakers to advance a bill to reform the state's emergency shelter program.
We wanted to be able to focus on that and not on, you know, an emerging crisis of people leaving the hotels on April 1st.
Officials from the Department for Children and Families say an extension would run contrary to the goal of unwinding the motel program's pandemic-era expansion. And on the other side of the housing stock equation, Middlebury is getting a new neighborhood. About a half mile from the center of town, Summit Properties has begun laying the groundwork for more than 250 new homes, both for sale and for rent, and at a range of price points. Summit COO Zeke Davison said at a groundbreaking yesterday that the Stonecrop Meadows project is among the largest new developments outside of Chittenden County in recent memory.
There'll be a six-unit townhome facing that way, and then one kitty-cornered or right behind it facing a public green right here.
The first phase of the project includes 45 duplexes and townhouses. Thanks to public subsidies, they'll be sold from around $200,000 on the low end to $650,000 at market rate. The first of those homes are on track to be available this summer. Several of Vermont's top medical associations are condemning President Trump's executive order seeking to restrict youth access to gender-affirming care. That includes the Vermont chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, Vermont Academy of Family Physicians, Vermont Medical Society, and Vermont Psychiatric Association. In a statement, those groups say gender-affirming care is medically necessary evidence-based health care for young people. And they say Vermont health care practitioners are working to ensure that access to gender-affirming care is protected. Burlington will not ask residents for a tax rate increase on town meeting day, despite the city's budget gap. However, residents will be asked to vote on three bonds to address infrastructure issues. Yesterday on Vermont Edition, Burlington Mayor Emma Mulvaney-Stanek said she's glad Burlingtonians won't see a general fund tax rate increase.
We worked all winter to make sure we didn't have to put that question on the town meeting day ballot. And we were able to win unanimous support from Democrats and progressives on putting those bonds onto the town meeting day ballot, which is no small task here in Burlington. And I think that shows how much due diligence our staff has done.
Two of the proposed bonds would address longstanding concerns with the city's drinking water and wastewater systems. The bonds would be repaid through residents' water bills. And a Burlington-based solar company has received nearly $400 million in financing from a Canadian investment company. Encore Renewable Energy will use the funding to build out four solar projects in Barrie, Danville, Sheldon, and West Rutland. VT Digger reports the company will also set up two large-scale batteries in Royalton and Middlebury, which can store renewable energy to be used when solar production is low. The funding is primarily made up of loans and tax credit transfers. Coming up, if he can't lease the property, the owner of a 200-year-old general store in New Hampshire's Lakes region says he may have to shut it down for good. The story after this. For more than 200 years, Tufton Borough's General Store in the heart of New Hampshire's Lakes region has been the place to grab necessities and stay connected to neighbors. But now that future hangs in the balance. NHPR's Anne-Marie Timmons has more.
Dave Dauphiné's in-laws had run the store for two decades when his wife suggested they take it over in 2016. He wasn't enthusiastic.
I wanted nothing to do with it. We were parents of pre-teenagers at the time, and just it was a hard no.
5 years later, Dave pitched the idea back to Erin. Their youngest child was finishing high school, and her parents wanted to retire. It was a perfect fit. Dave kept his day job and became a Tufton Borough selectman, while Erin ran the store. She kept the shelves stocked and the pellet stove going on cold days. She made a space for local artists to sell their works. And she left thermoses of coffee on the porch during snowstorms for the town's plow drivers. And Erin forged close relationships with her customers, some of whom came every morning to gather around the store's worn wooden table.
You can go to 7-Eleven and you can get your coffee, you can get your beer, you can get whatever you need at 7-Eleven. Here it's different. You can get all those things, but you also get the conversations, the chatter.
These days, the store's future is uncertain. Erin died of breast cancer in November. She was 50. Erin's loss has devastated her husband and her customers, like Guy Pike, who's lived in Tuftonboro for 70 years. He serves on the town's budget committee and the district school board, and he lives a half mile from the store. He starts nearly every morning around that wooden table.
People come in here and know each other. We're a pretty tight-knit community, even though we may not visit each other's houses, but when a fellow needs a hand, there's usually a hand sitting here at the table.
Pike interrupted himself when Faye Friedrich, another regular, walked in.
Hey, little girl.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. I'm dying for a cherry pie.
Friedrich hasn't always been a local. Pie and the store were her way into the community.
I bought a little house down the street. Only came up weekends. And I thought a way of endearing myself to the local population, I started bringing pies in every weekend. It took 5 years, but after 5 years, I think Guy, you said, oh, we're glad you moved from Massachusetts. Yeah.
Even as this band of regulars keeps showing up, business is different. Not long after Erin passed, the post office, which had called the store home for most of its 200 years, moved out, taking the daily foot traffic with it.
Since they closed the post office, Tuftonboro doesn't exist anymore. And without this store, it's going to go away even more. And that would be a tragedy, but I fully understand the challenges that Dave's facing at the moment.
Dave has decided he can't run the store without Erin, and he sees three options: selling it, turning it into apartments, or leasing it.
Who wants to be the guy that closes a 200-year-old general store? Certainly not me. And my wife would come back from the grave if I did that. So I'm trying to honor, you know, my wife's wishes and do the best that I can within the parameters of what I'm kind of left with.
Dave hasn't made a final decision, but he's talking to a couple of people interested in leasing, which would keep the store open. He said that's the only way to preserve what Erin and the store's customers love most. Anne Marie Timmons, NHPR News.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Carly Berlin, Adia Galston, and Michaela Lafrac. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you tomorrow.